How to protect society and its most vulnerable, particularly when they want to harm themselves or others, really is a flashpoint debate in this country right now. On one hand, the Bondi Junction attack proved how necessary police intervention in violent psychotic episodes really is. You could say no amount of preparation could have prepared us for that incident. But on the other hand, police have long begrudged being laboured with welfare checks, arguing that's the role of mental health professionals with access to referral services and support. For the sake of comparison, how do other countries respond to mental health call-outs? Well, in the US state of Oregon, Chelsea Swift is a medic and a crisis worker, part of the decades-long CAHOOTS program. Welcome to you.
Thanks for having me.
Tell me about CAHOOTS. I know it's America's longest-running alternative dispatch program. What does that mean?
CAHOOTS stands for Crisis Assistance Helping Out on the Streets. It's a nod, actually, to our partnership with law enforcement. We are an alternative to traditional law enforcement as well as traditional emergency medical services. And we are a crisis intervention program that's been in our community since 1989.
So when you call 911, obviously the US equivalent to Australia's 000 for emergency assistance, what's the pathway of that call?
So this is the crux of our program. The way that you reach CAHOOTS is by dialing the non-emergency number or the 911 number in our community. And the same call taker who's determining, does this situation need police? Does this need an ambulance? Is also determining, does this situation just need a human to show up in person? Our vans are staffed with a crisis worker and an EMT, so a crisis worker and a medic, and we are showing up to all sorts of calls in our community, some because people directly requested us. Maybe they needed counseling. Maybe they needed family mediation. Maybe they're feeling suicidal. Maybe they need help with housing or wound care or a medical issue. And what this also means, because we're wrapped into our public safety dispatch center, is a lot of people who weren't necessarily explicitly asking for that alternative might get it. So if someone's calling because there's someone who's homeless outside of their house and they're maybe not trespassing, but they would love for that person to move along, that person might have been requesting police, but then CAHOOTS shows up and we get to have a much more holistic encounter than asking someone just to move along. And frankly, it's a lot more effective that that person will actually move along if we're able to approach that person and say, hey, we can help you with that medical issue and let's give you a ride to the clinic.
So what happens if your team is called out to an event where a person might be armed and you don't have immediate police assistance? How do you handle those sorts of incidents?
Yeah, this is a huge part of our collaboration with being in the public safety dispatch system, is that we have the same incredibly skilled dispatch call takers screening our calls that are screening calls for law enforcement and deciding what the best resource is. So the point of which CAHOOTS is responding, we already have a bit of information and sometimes even a conversation between the dispatchers and us first responders confirming that we're comfortable handling the call. That being said, things change and humans are humans, and sometimes we do show up and there are weapons involved. And really, our job is de-escalation, not because it's just the right thing to do, but because it is the thing to do that keeps everyone safe. A huge part of that is also intent. So someone who is suicidal and thinking about hurting themselves with the weapon, it's really common for people to say, oh, that means they're just as likely to use that weapon on someone else. That's really fundamentally untrue. And then our training goes even further to say, someone who's suicidal, that's often the last thing on the list out of 10 really big things that got them there. So even on a suicidal subject call, we don't show up and just talk about, do you want to hurt yourself? How do you want to hurt yourself? When do you want to hurt yourself? We want to know what happened before you got to the conclusion that hurting yourself was the only option you had. And how can I help you explore what those other options are? Because we are an expert on those too.
If you just joined me on RN Drive, medic and crisis worker Chelsea Swift is here. She's speaking about the CAHOOTS program that's been running for several decades now in the US state of Oregon. I want to ask about the police and their attitudes, because in our country, we also have the prevalence of police officers fulfilling welfare-checked duties in the community. There is, at least anecdotally and informally, this attitude that the police don't want to be nurses, they don't want to be Uber drivers when it comes to shuttling people around in the community. So there is this interest in the programs like yours that sort of separate out those duties to people that are perhaps more specifically trained. But is there a battle of power when it comes to having those conversations? Because police certainly, politically speaking, don't want to relinquish control. So talk to me about how you're able to convince police about the CAHOOTS program.
Yeah, I mean, you're right on. Politically, on paper, this seems like it shouldn't add up. Practically, in the field, I can tell you that I have had high-level lieutenants tell me that they were considering transferring to a different department nearby for a much higher wage, but because they did not have a program like CAHOOTS, they opted to stay with the Eugene Police Department, where they had a program that makes their job easier. We unbelievably take off the weight of law enforcement to, quote, get back to law enforcement calls. And I think also there's this tension with law enforcement is doing a lot of things that aren't in the job that they signed up for. And I challenge that and say that, you know, here it's 911. As long as 911 is the only service that you can call to get a person to show up and respond to an issue, when here in Oregon, every therapist has a waiting list, every doctor's office has a waiting list, every group, every like child specialization program has wait lists, it's 911 that people are going to call instead. And our ability to come relieve law enforcement officers when they respond to these calls where there's not a criminal element or it's just civil, we make their jobs practically so much more functional when we get to say, you can go back out in the field, we'll stay and handle this one. We have been seeing unprecedented overdoses in our community, and that is a really crucial part of why we staff a CAHOOTS van with a crisis worker and a medic, because we want to be able to be an alternative, not just for mental health calls, but for public safety calls. And here in Eugene, CAHOOTS handles 85% of welfare checks in our community, a lot of which would otherwise be handled by law enforcement. This is a huge part of our diversion. And to be able to respond to what is sometimes someone just sleeping outside and is homeless, and is other times somebody who is in an overdose, cardiac arrest, or in a medical emergency, we can go from one moment offering someone a blanket or a ride to a shelter to another moment performing the highest scope of emergency care in an EMT basic in the field while calling for an ambulance to come back us up.
I'm just curious to ask about the longevity of this program, because we do have some examples of this in Australia. In one territory, the Australian Capital Territory, we have the PACER program. They send out a police officer, a paramedic, and a mental health clinician together. In New South Wales, in Sydney, there's another PACER program that has mental health clinicians stationed with police in the city of Sydney. But there are these barriers. It's been reported they aren't allowed to talk with police, even on the phone, during high-risk incidents where the person in distress has a weapon. So it really shows the difference between CAHOOTS and these PACER programs about trust. I mean, you were saying just then about how members of your program are even consulted on postmortems and in the event of someone's death. How important is trust for the longevity of programs like yours?
Yeah, just to expand on that history a little bit more. So Whitebird Clinic started as a crisis center in the late 60s. And so through all of the 70s and the 80s, law enforcement and other institutions in our area were bringing people to Whitebird Clinic. When they didn't necessarily need to go to jail and they didn't want to clog up the hospitals. So that trust was built over years, and it's what Cahoots was born out of when, in the late 80s, the Eugene Police Department got some funding to do community policing and decided to work with Whitebird instead. What I also say is that because of that deep history with Whitebird in our community, that if somebody does not have name recognition with Cahoots, that when I show up on someone's doorstep at 2 a.m. and I knock on their door, that they see that Whitebird logo, and chances are someone in our community has volunteered at Whitebird, has received our services, had a family member who worked with us at some point. So it is really like fundamentally trust that keeps us safe. And I just feel so grateful that like I got to join this program decades into that trust being built in all directions, and the outcomes speak for themselves. Within the 18 to, let's see, we did 21,000 calls in 2021. 2,000 of those were a co-response. So about 10%, there's still room for law enforcement and Cahoots to respond together. And sometimes that is necessary when there are safety flags, but 10% is a lot less law enforcement involvement than the other 90% that we're able to do just Cahoots units.
So many lessons to learn from, Chelsea. Fascinating to get the chance to speak to you. Chelsea Swift is a medic and a crisis worker for Cahoots in the US state of Oregon. I do appreciate your time.
Thank you so much for listening.
You've been listening to a podcast of The Drawing Room with me, Andy Park. For more great conversations, search for The Drawing Room on the ABC Listen app or wherever you get your podcasts.